welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Coming up on December 9th from 4 to 6 p.m., we will be traveling to a night in Bethlehem. Kids and their families will explore the city at the time of Jesus' birth through hands-on experiences. They'll find out all about the most important baby ever born, a baby that came to save us. Please bring your family to Trinity at 333 South Chestnut Street and join us in this wonderful adventure. Come and join us on Saturday, December 16th from 5 to 7 p.m. We will be having our next community meal then, our Christmas meal. We will offer ham, mashed potatoes, corn, and dessert. In a few moments, we will be having Pastor Doug Hyman preaching a partnership in the gospel, the scripture being Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 11. And now, I would like to introduce the contemporary version of the Trinity Boys, Proof, Jim Paffenberger and Mark Smallwood.
Thank you, Pastor Ace. Tuned up here. We are, to the uninitiated, we are called Proof.
Proof that Jimmy can sing and I can't.
Proof that talent is optional, and proof that God has a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
And Pastor Angel mentioned a moment ago when she said the prayer about going down memory lane. We're going down memory lane a little bit on this song, even though it's a beautiful Advent song, and it's called What Child Is This? It took me down memory lane as I thought about what song we were going to select. And I remember more than 50 years ago, and this is a tribute to Pastor Les Burden. I know I don't look it. He used to say that a lot. But over 50 years ago, this song was played at one of our Christmas events by none other than Kenny Paffenberger, I believe. Now, we're not going to swap him out with Georgie Ann, his sister, today. Unless he wants to. No, that's enough. That's enough a light on Kenny. But we used to have these great big Christmas, I call them pageants. And all of us, Greg Surenkamp, Scotty Hyman, our pastor Doug Hyman, we were little guys. And we would be given these sheets, strips of paper. Remember this guy?
Yeah.
And they had what we called our piece on it. And we had to memorize these pieces. And we had to say them when it was our turn. And the crowd was about as big as it was now, although it seemed like it was packed. But I don't remember being nervous. I know I'm kind of nervous this morning, but I don't remember, excuse me. I don't remember being nervous. I just know that I said my piece, and I hope I didn't forget anything. Greg knows what I'm talking about. But what I can't remember as I rack my mind is where this guy was in all that time. I don't know if he was at reform school. I don't know if he had run off and joined the circus. But we didn't have a radio room. The radio room was right behind Pastor Angel. But anyway, I thought this morning, so we could complete this circle, because Mark's part of the glue to this church now.
Amen.
I don't know. Yes. I'm going to have Mark read his piece. He didn't have to memorize it. Then we'll sing our song.
All right. So this is Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. It's from the New International Version. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace.
Beautiful voice, doesn't he have it? Yes. And also then we would go downstairs in the basement afterwards, and Georgie Ann knows what I'm talking about, if I talk to her, and we'd get a bag of goodies. Scott knows what I'm talking about. And then it would be an orange and an apple and some other stuff. And we were all so excited. And by the way, Alberta Thompson and Emily Kendall wrote these pieces for us. They typed them out. There was no computers back then. But anyway, I'm going to give Mark his
Woo-hoo!
Bag right now. And so we're going to go ahead and sing this song, What Child Is This, as we celebrate and turn our hearts to the real meaning of this season.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? Raise, raise a song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Could Christians fear or sinners hear the silent word is pleading? Nails, nails shall pierce him through, the cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him, the King of kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This, this is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate you sharing your talents with us this morning. I'd like to read our scripture. It's found in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Well, good morning. It's so good to be with you today. It's been a few years since I stood behind this pulpit, and it's good to be back and to see so many familiar faces and to see many guests here today, family and friends who have come, to encourage me. And one of my family members said they're suffering from insomnia, so they're hoping to be able to get a nap in this morning as I preach, so I hope that works out for you. But it is good to be back, and this place, I love this place. This is my home church. You know, this is where I grew up. This is the place where I came to faith. This is, you know, just a wonderful space, a holy space for me. And so I have wonderful, wonderful memories here, great experiences here. You know, I look around at the beautiful stained glass windows and remember as a kid sitting in the pew looking at the stained glass windows when the preacher was preaching. I had to have something to do, right? Didn't have phones back then, and so I looked at the stained glass windows. And then I love hearing the power of the pipe organ. Thank you, Georgianne, for playing it so skillfully today. That was beautiful. That was wonderful. I love the fact that you still have a radio ministry after all these years. And that's where I first began to serve up in the radio room. Back then, we weren't as sophisticated as you are now. We had cardboard numbers that we would put in the window that would let the pastor know how long until the pastor would go on the air. And so you have become much, much more sophisticated since those days. And of course, all of you, the people of the church, is what made this church so rich and so wonderful and so powerful and given so many wonderful memories to me. And that's why I chose this scripture reading, because it really speaks my heart to you. What Paul was writing to the Philippians is what I would want to say to you and what I want to say to you today as well. And so he began that by saying, I thank my God every time I remember you. Now, the Apostle Paul had only spent a short time in Philippi, but evidently in that short time, and maybe even afterwards, he had developed some really close friendships and relationships there. And so that speaks my heart for Trinity United Methodist Church. When I think about all those spiritual moments and good friendships and the terrific influence this church has had upon my life, I too am overwhelmed with thanksgiving today that God gave me such a spiritual home to grow up in. So I was baptized here in 1962. I was confirmed here on June 30th, 1974. During a Sunday morning worship service on September 24, 1974, sitting over here where some of my family is sitting today on my right, I was sitting there, and at the end of the service, the pastor invited anyone who wanted to express and experience in a personal way, a heartwarming experience in Jesus Christ, and I did so, sitting in my pew. And then it was in March of 1979, I believe, sitting on the second pew here with all the youth group. We had a special speaker that day. At the end of the message, that speaker invited anyone who felt called to ministry to come forward and kneel at the altar. Up until that point, I had no clue that God wanted to call me into ministry, but the Holy Spirit fell strongly upon me that morning, and I had to climb out, which seemed to be a much bigger pew that morning, and all over the youth, because I was sitting right in the middle, and made my way to the altar, and there knelt and gave my all to the call of pastoral ministry. Then it was on June 19, 1981, 10 days before my 19th birthday, I was asked to give my very first sermon. Trinity back then in the summers had two services, an earlier service so folks could get on with their day if they wanted to come to the earlier service, and we sat over here on this section on my left. That was the congregation side. It was a smaller service. And so the pastor said, we'll let you preach at that service, at the 8:30 service, and if you do okay, then you can preach at the main 10:30 service. Needless to say, I only preached at the 8:30 service that day. I don't blame him. I wouldn't have wanted to have preached at the 10:30. However, I was going through some things just recently and came across some old bulletins from that year here at Trinity. And I noticed in the next year, I preached four times at the 10:30 service in that following year. So I got a second chance. I got a great, great start here at Trinity. But I know some of you had to suffer through those early sermons, right, Greg? You really had to suffer through. So I was blessed to be married here to my wife, Jody, on August 20th, 1983. Did I get the date right? Okay, good. And from that marriage, we had two sons, two daughter-in-laws, three grandchildren, not all on the same day, but over the years. And so just wonderful, wonderful memories of Sunday school classes, VBS, UMYF was just a wonderful experience in our youth group, playing ping pong downstairs in the basement, playing hide and seek throughout the building, going up the back stairways was always a fun adventure as well. I remember I think my brother Scott and I were recruited by Uncle Dale and maybe my dad in 1978 when we had the big blizzard. It was our job to scoop the sidewalk all around the building. Do you remember that, Uncle Dale? Yeah. And do you remember that, Scott? Not really? Okay. Well, evidently you weren't there then. I'm sure Greg wasn't there, so. But I remember it. It was a cold, cold day. So thanks for that opportunity to shovel snow all day long. We went on retreats. We went on service projects. We did all kind of fun things. And I even was the youth pastor here for 2 years while going to Asbury University. So you see, I have a lot to be thankful for, and I'm really, really blessed to be able to come and share some of those things with you today, because this really is holy ground for me. This is where my spiritual roots were established. You know, Paul goes on to say, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul's heart was full of thanksgiving because these folks, these Philippians, had become actuals with him. You know that word in the original language, partnership, is koinonia. We've probably heard of that. It's like a fellowship. It's a close spiritual fellowship. Even when they weren't together, Paul still felt like there was that kindred spirit, that there was that spiritual connection that they had. And they did a wonderful job of supporting Paul in his ministry. They prayed for him. You know, they sent a personal representative to encourage him. They sent funds to help support him in his ministry. And so they were truly partners with him throughout all of his life. So as I mentioned earlier, without realizing it, you too have been my partners in ministry over the last 39 and a half years that I've been in ministry. I started after college. When I went to seminary, I was a pastor, a part-time pastor here in Seymour at Rockford and St. Andrew United Methodist Churches. After seminary, I moved to Marengo, and I was there 8 years, and I've been in Bluegrass in Evansville now for 27 and a half years there as pastor. And so in all this ministry, all these years, you have been my partners. And let me give you three specific ways in which you have been my partners. First of all, I traveled here in the youth group on a bus ministry called God's Nightcrawler. Do any of you remember God's Nightcrawler? And we went to Eastern Kentucky, to Redbird Mission, to Anderson Settlement. Glad to see that some of you are still going to Redbird Mission today to serve there. And so that kind of opened my eyes to needy folks, right, in the mountains, Appalachian area of Kentucky. And then when I was youth pastor here, we took a group to Mountaintop. It's a work camp experience in Tennessee. And after that, I took several other groups from other churches to the same place. And then we even started our own work camp experiences in Crawford County and Vandenberg counties, and other youth groups would come to us so that we could take care of the needs in our local area. So what I received here from my first experience in work camps and service opportunities put a heavy desire on my heart to invest in ministry that demonstrates the love of Jesus in very practical ways. And that's how you're still partnering with me. Number two, because I did have such a deep, heartwarming experience in my faith with Jesus Christ and that very strong conviction of the Holy Spirit calling me into ministry, it's influenced the way in which I do ministry, in the way in which I invite people to have a relationship with Christ and call them to ministry by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even though that happened so many years ago, more than I want to admit now, those events are still very fresh in my mind and still provide tremendous passion in my ministry today. That's how you're still partnering with me. And third, local and worldwide missions was a big deal when I was here. We would have mission conferences each year. Different missionaries would come in and speak to us. We even had a mission breakfast for students before we went to school during that week. I think it was usually in March, and it seemed like it always snowed that day as well. We would gather and hear a missionary speak, and we always made it to school on time and safely. But that just opened up a whole other world for me to see God's work around the globe and how God was doing amazing things. And so ever since then, that just gave me a passion, a burden for missions around the world, locally as well. And so through our various ministries through the years. We've supported work in the Congo, Nigeria, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Haiti, Guatemala, Mexico, and many other locations around the world, in the United States, and even locally as well. And so Paul went on to say, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me, and how much I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know all of you today. I know many of you today, but this is my heart for you as a church today. This is what I feel, what I think about when I think about Trinity, because of the rich spiritual heritage that you gave to me. Now, I'm just one person. Think about all the other persons who went into ministry from Trinity and how they have been influential and how they have spread the gospel. You've partnered with them. Think about all the persons who have come to faith in Jesus Christ and then they've shared the faith with others and you've influenced them. Think about all the ways in which you are serving today and giving of yourselves in practical ways and feeding folks and clothing folks and bringing light and life and love to others. You are doing the same for them and your influence continues to grow. This is your partnership in the gospel with each person and each ministry that has exponential influence and impact in the kingdom of God. You know, on this side of heaven, we'll never know the tremendous influence that Trinity United Methodist Church has had. We'll never know until eternity what you have done throughout all these years. The influence has rippled further around the world than you will ever, ever imagine. So don't ever think that, you know, that we've not done much. You've done much great, good work in the name of Jesus through the years. And that leads to what Paul says next, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, the good work began when Paul went and shared the gospel with them. They accepted it and they became loving, faith-filled believers, followers of Jesus Christ, and they continued on. Now, it's one thing to begin, right? But we've got to continue on. And Trinity Church has been continuing the ministry for 100 wonderful years in this community and in the world. So God's heart for you is that you would continue to carry this fruitful ministry to its completion. You're far from being finished. God wants to build upon all the ministry that's already been done within these doors and as you've gone outside of these doors into the community and to the world. You know, the mission that Jesus gave to his disciples is still our mission today, is it not? For 2,000 years, the church has been building upon those who have gone before us so that we can be faithful disciples, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, to advance the kingdom of God into the world. You see, the church isn't just about us. It is about us, but it's also about more than us. It's about what Christ has purposed to do through us into the community and into the world so that we can share the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. Others can enter into the kingdom of God and make a powerful impact into this world. So there's another side to this. It's not just about what we are to do. Paul told the Philippians that they weren't meant to do this on their own. Even though Paul wasn't right there with him, he said, God is. God is with you. And God will be with you to the end. God will give you peace and God will give you power. God will give you strength to carry out his purpose and his plan to the very end of time. You know, Paul's Philippian friends were actually going through some difficult struggles. And so they needed an encouraging word from Paul. They needed to be reassured in the midst of all their affliction that God was with them and God was still working for good in their midst. You know, I think that same is true for all churches today, right? It's a tough time sometimes to be doing the work of the Lord in our world. But you know, God's vision is still the same for us. God's vision is still the same for Trinity's future because it's going to reach longer and broader than anyone could ever dream or imagine. God knows your kingdom potential. Not only knows your kingdom potential, But God is working for you to accomplish your kingdom potential and to empower you by the Holy Spirit so that you can accomplish it. And so my heart for you is that what I spiritually experienced here over many years ago would be replicated thousandfold, time and time again, for years to come. You know, a few weeks ago, I stopped by a coffee shop in Evansville, and I was in between appointments, and I stopped and sat down, was going to do a little work, and a couple of women came in and started talking, and I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but I couldn't help myself, because they were speaking loud enough, right? And so they were talking about their church. They were even talking about their pastor and naming their pastor. I thought, this might really get good here. I'm gonna listen in. I was just a little disappointed. Everything they said was good. Everything was good. It was all good. Nothing bad. They were talking about how they want to, you know, be more invested in their ministry and how they want to greet more people, welcome more people on Sunday morning and just be that welcoming congregation. They were talking about how they could do that. The pastor hadn't put them up to it. They were just wanting to do that on their own. And they were just, you know, bragging on their pastor, on their church. I never did know which church it was or who the pastor was. They just mentioned him by his first name. And I just thought that was really, really cool, you know, to hear how they were bringing really praise to God as they were sharing their faith about their church. And it did cause me to wonder, though, what my church says about me at the coffee shop. I'm not sure it may be so good as it was for them. Now, I tell you that because that's really my prayer for you, is that you'll be known in Seymour as such positive witnesses for Jesus Christ. I pray that each of you will be personally invested in making Trinity all God desires it to be. And that what Paul prayed for the Philippians would also be my prayer for you as well. It's a prayer that your spiritual fruitfulness as a congregation would continue to grow. It's a prayer that asks that your love for God would abound more and more, that your love for one another would abound more and more, that your love for your community would abound more and more, and along with your love, that your wisdom would increase so that your witness will shine brightly and that you'll know how to effectively live out your faith and your ministry in the community. And it's a prayer that your fruit, which Paul says is the very righteousness of Christ, would permeate your fellowship so much that others would be drawn into this warm fellowship and experience the power of Jesus Christ at work in your congregation and just feel the love of Christ and be drawn into the warm fellowship that you have here. You know, Paul's prayer concludes as a reminder that our fruitfulness isn't for our praise, but it's for the glory of God. In all things that we do, we're here to bring glory to God. We're here to point to God, to point to the love of God through Jesus Christ, so that we lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And don't forget, we're always the church, aren't we? Whether we're here on a Sunday morning, whether we're scattered about during the week at the coffee shop or at home or at work or at school, we're always the church, and so let's be the church and let's be the people of God who lift up the name of Jesus Christ and bring glory to the God of the universe. So let me pray a similar prayer that Paul prayed for the Philippians over you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the rich history of 100 years of glorious ministry here at Trinity, and ask that through the next 100 years that their love will abound more and more for you and for one another and for their community. I ask that you would give them knowledge and wisdom to discern the best possible ministries to live out their witness in the world. I pray that you'd keep them holy and blameless until the day of your glorious return, when you establish the new heaven and earth, fill them full of the fruit of your righteousness that only comes through Jesus Christ. May Trinity United Methodist Church make much of the name of Jesus and bring great glory to you, our Father in heaven. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
you all may remain seated for the next song. As Pastor Doug said, we are the church. It's found on page 558 of your hymnal or on the screen.